Few martial arts carry the mystique and cultural weight of Kung Fu. From classic movies to ancient legends, it has captured imaginations around the world for generations. But when the cameras stop rolling and a real threat appears, how does Kung Fu actually hold up? In this installment of our martial arts series, we take an honest look at Kung Fu through the lens of real-world self-defense. We trace its origins, break down its core principles and signature techniques, and critically evaluate its practicality against modern threats. Finally, we place it within our ranking of the 11 arts to help you decide whether it belongs in your personal defense toolkit. Whether you are a curious beginner or a seasoned survivalist looking to sharpen your readiness, this guide separates the myth from the reality so you can make an informed choice about your training. The origins and evolution of Kung Fu. Kung Fu, more accurately described as a family of Chinese martial arts, has roots that stretch back thousands of years. The term itself does not translate to fighting. Instead, it refers to any skill achieved through hard work and dedication over time. Over the centuries, however, the phrase became closely tied to the combat systems that developed across China. The most famous chapter in Kung Fu history begins at the Shaolin Temple, founded in the 5th century in Henan Province. According to tradition, an Indian monk named Bodhidharma arrived at the temple and taught the monks physical exercises to strengthen their bodies for long hours of meditation. These exercises evolved into structured fighting systems. Over time, Shaolin monks became renowned for their martial skill, blending physical training with Buddhist philosophy and discipline. Kung Fu did not develop in isolation. It was deeply influenced by Chinese philosophy, including Taoism and Confucianism. Concepts like balance, harmony, and the flow of energy shaped how the movements were designed and practiced. This is why many styles emphasize inner calm and mental focus as much as physical power. As the art spread across China, it split into hundreds of regional styles and lineages. Northern styles often favored high kicks, acrobatic movements, and long-range techniques suited to open terrain. Southern styles focused on close-range hand strikes and stable stances. Out of this rich diversity came several well-known systems. Wing Chun became famous for its efficient close-range trapping and rapid straight-line strikes, and it later gained global attention through its connection to Bruce Lee. Shaolin Kung Fu remained the powerful and athletic system associated with the temple. Tai Chi developed as a slow, flowing practice rooted in health and internal energy, though it still contains martial applications. Wushu emerged in the modern era as a performance and competition sport that showcases the beauty and athleticism of the movements. Sanda, sometimes called Sancho, developed as full-contact Chinese kickboxing with throws, and we will have more to say about it shortly. Through migration, trade, and eventually film, Kung Fu spread far beyond China's borders. Today it is practiced worldwide, valued both as a cultural treasure and a physical discipline. Understanding this history helps explain why Kung Fu carries such a strong emphasis on tradition, form, and philosophy alongside its combat purpose, core principles and signature techniques. At its heart, Kung Fu is built on a set of principles that guide every movement. Understanding these ideas is key to seeing what makes the art distinct from other combat systems. Foundational philosophy. Balance and fluidity are central to Kung Fu. Practitioners are taught to move smoothly, transferring weight and generating power through the whole body rather than relying on brute strength. Many styles also emphasize qi, often written as qi, which is described as the body's internal energy. Whether or not one views qi as literal or symbolic, the concept encourages proper breathing, relaxation, and focused intent during movement. Another defining feature is the use of animal-inspired forms. Traditional Kung Fu draws from creatures such as the tiger, crane, snake, leopard, and dragon. Each animal represents a different fighting quality. The tiger emphasizes power and aggression, the crane focuses on balance and precise striking, and the snake stresses fluid, coiling attacks. These forms teach students to adapt their movements to different situations. Signature techniques. Kung Fu contains a wide arsenal of techniques. Strikes include straight punches, palm strikes, finger jabs, and elbow attacks. Many Southern styles favor rapid hand combinations delivered from close range, while Northern styles include sweeping, powerful blows. Kicks range from low, practical strikes aimed at the legs and midsection to high, acrobatic kicks used in demonstration and competition. Blocks and deflections are designed to redirect an opponent's force rather than meet it head-on, reflecting the principle of using an attacker's energy against them. Stances form the foundation of every technique. The horse stance, with feet planted wide and knees bent, builds leg strength and stability. Other stances allow quick shifts in direction and rapid changes between offense and defense. Strong footwork is a hallmark of well-trained Kung Fu practitioners. Finally, there are forms, known as Tailu. These are choreographed sequences that string together strikes, blocks, kicks, and stances. Forms serve as a living library, preserving techniques and teaching students how to flow between them. They build muscle memory, coordination, and endurance. In combat terms, each movement within a form is meant to represent a real application, such as escaping a grab or countering a punch, even though the training practice looks stylized, real-world self-defense effectiveness. The most important question for any survivalist is simple. Does it work when someone is actually trying to hurt you? Kung Fu has real strengths, and it carries a weakness that overshadows nearly all of them. Strengths: Kung Fu offers impressive versatility. A well-rounded practitioner learns strikes, kicks, blocks, and depending on the style, some grappling and joint locks. This broad toolkit means a trained fighter has options in many situations, and crucially, no rule set forbids any of them. Kung Fu never told anyone they could not sweep a leg, strike below the belt, or grapple. That freedom matters. The emphasis on footwork is a genuine advantage. Good movement allows a defender to control distance, avoid being cornered, and create angles that put an attacker off balance. Situational awareness and mental discipline are built into serious training. The calm, focused mindset cultivated through practice can help a person stay composed under stress, which is often the deciding factor in a violent encounter. And there are styles built for exactly this. Wing Chun is designed for close quarters defense and can be effective when trained realistically. Sanda is full contact, spars every session, and produces fighters who compete successfully against kickboxers. A serious Sanda practitioner belongs several places higher than where this article ranks the art. The problem is that he is rare. The central weakness: most Kung Fu schools emphasize forms over live sparring. That sentence is the whole problem, and everything else follows from it. Practicing choreographed sequences builds coordination and preserves technique, but it does not prepare a person for the chaos, resistance, and unpredictability of a real fight. A form teaches you what a technique is meant to do. It cannot tell you whether you can do it to someone who is fighting you. Arts that train with resisting partners produce fighters who perform better under pressure, and they do so for a reason that has nothing to do with which techniques they learned. Their students have been forced to discard everything that does not work. A Kung Fu student who has never sparred is carrying a curriculum he has never audited. Time is another factor. Kung Fu often takes years to reach a high level of proficiency. In an emergency, a defender needs reliable skills that function under adrenaline, and slow developing complexity is a disadvantage next to simpler, more direct systems. Some flashy techniques, especially high kicks and acrobatic movements, carry real risk in a street attack. They can leave a person off balance or vulnerable, particularly on uneven ground or in tight spaces. Against a determined assault, the most reliable defenses are usually simple and repeatable. Bottom line on practicality: Kung Fu can be effective for self-defense, but the outcome depends almost entirely on the school. A practical, close-range system taught with regular sparring and pressure testing serves a defender well. A traditional school focused mainly on forms and demonstration leaves real gaps against a violent, resisting attacker. The quality of the training matters far more than the reputation of the name. That is true of every art on our list. It is more true of this one than of any other, where Kung Fu ranks among the 11. Among the 11 martial arts we evaluate for self-defense, Kung Fu ranks 9th. Read that placement carefully, because it describes an average and not a person. No art on this list has a wider spread between its best practitioners and its typical ones. A Sanda fighter is dangerous. A student who has spent 4 years on Taelu and never been hit is not. Both hold a Kung Fu lineage. Our ranking has to account for which one you are more likely to become at the school nearest your house. Against Karate: Karate sits one place above Kung Fu, and the two arts fail in remarkably similar ways. Both are enormous families rather than single systems. Both contain schools that produce hard, capable fighters and schools that produce beautiful choreography. In both, the dojo matters more than the style. Karate takes the higher spot for one reason. Full contact karate exists, it is widespread, and an ordinary person can find it. Kyokushin and its descendants spar hard, hit hard, and get hit, and they are common enough that a beginner searching in most cities can locate one. Kung Fu's equivalent is Sanda, and it is comparatively rare outside China. The technique is not worse. The odds are worse. Kung Fu ranks below karate not because the art is inferior, but because realistic, resisting sparring is harder to find, and the average student pays for that. Against Taekwondo: Taekwondo sits one place below Kung Fu, which will strike some readers as backwards. Taekwondo spars. Many Kung Fu schools do not. Should live training not win? Not here, and the reason is worth sitting with. A kung fu student from a forms-only school arrives at a violent encounter with no useful reflexes. A taekwondo student from a sport school arrives with reflexes that are worse than none at all. Hands down, weight bouncing, chin exposed, waiting for a referee's whistle that is not coming. Empty is not good. Actively wrong is worse. There is also the ceiling. Nothing in kung fu's curriculum forbids low kicks, sweeps, grappling, or striking a man who has already fallen. Taekwondo's rule set forbids nearly all of it, and its students spend years learning to obey rules that violence does not recognize. Against Krav Maga. Krav Maga sits at the top of our ranking, and the comparison is instructive rather than flattering. Krav Maga discarded tradition on purpose. It kept what worked against a knife and threw away everything that only looked good. Kung Fu preserved everything, which is precisely why it is a cultural treasure and precisely why it is ninth. A living library is a wonderful thing. It is a poor weapon. Both arts share one weakness worth naming. Many Krav Maga schools also skip liv resistance, and a Krav Maga student who has never sparred is in the same position as a Kung Fu student who has never sparred. He has been given answers he has never tested. The difference is that Krav Maga's answers were at least designed for the question. WHO benefits most. Kung Fu is an excellent choice for people who value discipline, cultural depth, physical fitness, and lifelong personal growth. It builds coordination, balance, and mental focus that carry over into everyday life. For a survivalist whose main goal is fast, reliable self-defense, it works best as part of a broader plan, ideally combined with a pressure-tested striking or grappling art. If you love the philosophy and commit to a school that spars regularly, this ranking undersells what you will become. Find that school, or find another art. Where mixed martial arts fits. No single martial art covers every range of a real attack. Kung Fu gives you movement, structure, and conditioning drawn from one of the deepest traditions in the world. What it does not reliably give you is consistent pressure testing against a resisting opponent. An attacker does not care which discipline you chose. A real altercation moves between striking range, clinch range, and the ground without asking permission. This is the reason the most capable defenders cross-train. Mixed martial arts is not a 12th style competing with the 11 for a spot on our list. It is the recognition that these arts were never meant to be exclusive choices. For Kung Fu, cross-training does something it does for no other art here. It supplies the missing audit. Roll with a grappler and you will learn within one session which of your joint locks are real. Spar with a boxer and your stances will reorganize themselves around what actually keeps you from being hit. The techniques were never the problem. Choose the art that fits your body, your schedule, and the school you can actually get to. Build a foundation. Then start filling the gaps. Kung Fu is a beautiful and time-honored art with real self-defense value, and its effectiveness depends more heavily on how it is trained than any other discipline in this series. Choose a school that emphasizes live sparring and practical application rather than forms alone. Ask whether students spar, ask how often, and then watch a class to see whether the answer was true. For pure survival readiness, pair it with a pressure-tested art to cover the gaps. If you value discipline, fitness, and cultural depth alongside your defense skills, Kung Fu can be a rewarding lifelong pursuit that still prepares you to respond when violence finds you. Just make sure the pursuit includes someone who is genuinely trying to hit you.